Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. For social media, there are a lot of different ways to use it. And one of the ways people are using social media is to grow their network marketing businesses. And in this episode, you're going to focus on how to do just that. And who better to share that with us than today's guest, who is a 2-time best-selling author who has shared the stage with people like Tony Robbins, Bob Proctor, Les Brown, Robert Kiyosaki, and many more. And his coaching program was actually recognized this year on the Inc. 5000 as one of America's fastest growing companies. He helps network marketers grow large teams and create freedom in their lives. Today's guest for episode 213 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Ray Higdon. Ray, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Mark. It's an honor to be on here.
Ray, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'd like to get some background before we dive into the nitty-gritty. So I'm wondering if you could share with us why you got started with network marketing. What was the whole attraction there?
Yeah, so, you know, it's something that I had actually sworn off of. I had actually swore to myself I would never do network marketing again because I had I had a bad experience with it, and I think maybe some others could resonate with that. I was focused on building my real estate business, and that was going really, really well until the market crashed in 2007, 2008 is really when I got wiped out. And so here I was, just dead broke, personal foreclosure, being chased by bill collectors, and didn't want to go back to a job if I could help it, but didn't really know what I was going to do. And a buddy invited me to one of those meetings, and I said, you know what, I have no credit, I have no money. I'm like, maybe I can give this thing a shot and make it work. And so I actually ended up becoming the number one income earner in that company. And fast forward a few years, you know, we did well with that company, made millions of dollars. And, fast forward a few years, we actually decided to focus on coaching and training the profession as a whole. And so now we've worked with $20 to $25 million a year earners in network marketing and a lot of teams and speak at a lot of company events and things like that. So we really found our purpose and calling, and we're just having a blast working with network marketing companies and leaders now.
And you help a lot of companies, and you also help individuals through your products and books, like your book, Frequently Effective Social Media for Network Marketing. I wonder if you can share with us how network marketers would go about using social media to find prospects.
Yeah, you know, it's something we're really passionate about because my wife and I use social media as a major component on building our network marketing business. And, you know, unfortunately, and I guess fortunately, social media was like one of the best things to happen in network marketing, but also one of the worst in that, you know, decades ago, if someone was just a terrible networker and they were just, you know, slimy, spammy, hypey, well, they can only turn off so many people. Well, now even the worst networkers are connected to hundreds, if not thousands of people on social media. And if they're doing crappy tactics, then they're turning a lot of people off. And so we decided to, to not only take a stand for the profession, but also teach some extremely effective ways on how to do it. And that's what led us to write our book, Freakishly Effective Social Media for Network Marketing. But in a nutshell, there's two main components of building any business, and that's prospecting, reaching out to individuals one-on-one, whether it's, face-to-face, online, offline, warm market, people you know, cold market, people you don't know, and marketing. And marketing is where you're doing something you hope an unnamed individual reacts or responds to. So that could be a, you know, Facebook Live, status update, podcast, blog, could be any of those things. Could be a flyer, could be a drop card, could be all these different things. And so we teach effective methods of prospecting and marketing on how to use social media to attract more people to you that would be open to your product, service, or opportunity that you're representing in network marketing, but also how to connect with people and open up the conversation to lead them down the path to possibly be open to your product, service, or opportunity. And so some of the ways that we teach are not to constantly talk about the name of your company or the name of your product, because doing that, all it does is it turns off all the people that aren't interested at all. And the people that are interested, all you've done is made them independent researchers. So they just Google it and they find out, you know, something negative typically, because if you Google anything, you'll find something negative. And so you're turning people off left and right. Whereas we suggest that you actually control the conversation, talk about benefits of your product, service, or opportunity, and not mention the name of your company, the name of your product. And that way more people are like, man, what is it that they're doing? How are they helping people get results around, you know, health and wellness or skincare or making money or whatever it is that people are focusing on? We would rather you be the gatekeeper of that information so that people have to have a conversation with you. And then we teach you what to say to those people as they're reaching out to you.
And I really like the approach of building the relationship. It's not like an over salesy approach. It's more of just a relationship that eventually may lead into the product or lead into a call, more importantly, where you can get the people off the social networks, get them into the call, into the meeting, where you can potentially turn that prospect into a customer. And one of the things that, like, your coaching company became an Inc. 5,000 company. That is a really big accomplishment. A lot of growth, a lot of planning had to be put in to make that happen. So I'm wondering, how exactly did you go from starting your coaching company to it becoming an Inc. 5,000 company?
Yeah, you know, good question. And, you know, it was something that we were kind of surprised. You know, the first year that we, you know, put in our information for the Inc. 5000, we were ranked number 754 in the U.S. as far as growth. And so how we did it is, you know, it all kind of started back in 2013. And we were already the number one incomers of a network marketing company. And we were already doing some training, but we really weren't doing formal coaching. And we decided, you know what, let's give it a shot. We had hired lots of coaches, but we had never really experienced it. We had made courses and we had ran challenges and we'd done speaking events, but we'd never done like formal masterminds that we ran. And so in, I believe July of 2013, we ran an event called Toppreneur Academy, where we offered two different levels of coaching. And what's funny is, you know, looking back, we had one option that I believe back then was like maybe 15,000 or 17,000. I forget, 15 or 17,000. And the second option was $50,000. Now, we knew no one would buy that, right? So the 50,000 was really geared to make the other one sound more appealing. And so we did our event, and, you know, we had been creating, you know, I know that you're an expert at content marketing. I mean, you know, I've done 1 to 2 videos a day for the last 9 years. And so we have over 3,000 blog posts. We got over 900 podcasts. I mean, we're just beasts at content. And so we had been, you know, taking care of our audience at that point for about 4 years straight. And so when we offered the coaching program, we really couldn't believe it, but, you know, we had three people buy the $50,000 option, and we had, I forget how many, but a whole bunch buy the smaller option. And I got to tell you, I was actually nervous. I was like, man, you know, am I going to be able to like make these guys happy at $50,000? And what was awesome and just really made us feel fantastic is all three of them that bought the big package actually renewed the next year. And then two of the three renewed for a third year. And so it really made us like realize that we were adding a lot of value and helping these guys. And so that kind of, gave us more confidence to continuously play bigger and offer more programs and do more coaching and train more teams. And so, you know, our first as a company, 2013 was our first $1 million year. And then we doubled it the next year. Almost doubled it the year after that. And then we doubled it the year after. And so, you know, it's just kind of surreal in that we're really doing what we love. And we have so many repeat clients and people that we work with just year after year after year. And it's really just a dream come true, really, because I still remember being dead broken in personal foreclosure. So it's kind of crazy. But, you know, you adding value to the marketplace and just focusing on how can you help people in your niche, it really can pay off.
And one of the things you mentioned is that all that content that you create, I mean, that's just so many videos, so many blog posts, so many podcasts. How do you find the time to create all that content? And do you see it's worth it to constantly come out with so much content?
Yeah, good question. So I'm just really good at being immersed in my space and knowing what people struggle with. And so I'm constantly like, we have a private community called Rank Makers, where we have now close to 12,000 people that they pay $20 a month for us to coach and train them. And I go live in there every single day. And so I read almost every comment in that group, which there's like hundreds every single day, maybe thousands. And so I'm really in tune with what my audience struggles with and where, you know, just what obstacles kind of freak them out and what slows them down and where they're inefficient and maybe where they've been trained the wrong way, like things that just aren't effective or turn people off. And so it's really a never ending, you know, source of locating content. As far as creating it, you know, the first, I think the first 7 years I did everything myself. So I was uploading the podcast. I was editing the video, although I wasn't doing a very good job of it. I was writing the blog post, uploading the video or embedding the video. I was doing like everything. And it was, looking back, it's kind of crazy because I don't remember how to do any of that stuff anymore. We did bring in a content manager that basically allows me to focus on what I'm good at and just creating content. And then she'll run with it and she'll, you know, slice and dice it and make it into a different video or, you know, use it on her Facebook fan page. And so, you know, now it's just, you know, me, I basically just show up to the things that I really want to, like, you know, awesome interviews like this, or, you know, presenting at a company event, or, you know, doing videos and trainings. And we have more of the administrative kind of stuff done for us now. And it's definitely worth it. You know, I mean, there's just no way that we would have had the kind of success that we've had without building all that rapport and trust with our audience over the years. And, you know, we built, I think our email list now, I haven't looked in a while, but I think our email list is close to 300,000 people. And the truth is probably at least 220,000 have never bought anything. And that's okay, but maybe they shared it with someone who did. And so, you know, it's something that I think in the beginning, if you had gauged what was my return on investment the first 6 months of creating content, probably wasn't worth it. But you gauge now, I mean, we get from old blog posts, I mean, we still get between 100 to 200,000 unique visitors a month on our blog. And, you know, we're not paying for ads to the blog. I mean, we're getting that through our own marketing efforts and broadcast messages, as well as from, you know, just Google search.
And it's one of the things you mentioned is how you now have a content manager. And it's really great to delegate some of the tasks, even if it's just like hiring one part-time individual. Like for me, with Breakthrough Success, audio editing is delegated, show notes are delegated. There are just so many things with the podcast and parts of my business that I don't do. And if I had to do them, it would be a lot harder. So I would definitely look into delegating. But one of the things I also want to tap into is you talked about using social media for network marketers, for people interested in growing their businesses. But what do you believe holds most people back from using social media to get the results that they're looking for?
So yeah, I think a lot of people go on social media and they do things that they just wouldn't do in other mediums. They wouldn't do face-to-face. They wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't walk into a cocktail party and just say, hey, buy my product. And so a lot of times I think people go on social media and they just see it as a mass of people that may want to purchase their product or join their team. And instead of what it really is, which is, it's really just a way to more efficiently connect with more people. And so as long as you remember that the lowest common denominator is the person, as long as you remember that you are a human being connecting with other human beings using an electronic medium versus you're someone that's just throwing something against the wall. And so as long as you're trying to, you know, like you said earlier, build relationships and build connections and do things in a way to create conversations and possibly get on the phone, possibly not. You know, we have a lot of people that are recruiting superstars that don't use the phone a lot. And that's, you know, that's kind of newer, you know, in years past, I would have said that you'd have to get on the phone. But as long as you're using social media to create connections with other people, then you're probably doing it right. If you're using social media as a billboard to just post your wares for sale or your product, your team to join, et cetera, you're probably doing it wrong.
And I do find like you're thinking to the point where what would you do in a real scenario? You wouldn't be like promoting your product. You'd just be building the relationship. And again, the product is something that may come up in the conversation. It is something like, hey, buy my product or anything like that. It's something that it's definitely something you have to pay attention to, like building relationships, unique conversations. There's not like you can use a rubric for every single conversation that comes your way. So that is an interesting angle and the reason why some people may not be tapping into social media's full potential for growing their businesses. And one of the things you mentioned earlier, you talked about when you were getting started, real estate was doing really good for you. And 2007, 2008 happened. And you're in this situation now where you're just starting to look at network marketing. And I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge during that stage. You're just getting started with network marketing. You have the real estate past looming over you. What is one big challenge you faced on that journey to becoming a successful network marketer and eventual having your coaching company? So one big challenge there and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenge I had then, well, I guess two. One was just my confidence in myself was definitely shaken because I had gone, you know, the only thing worse than not making good money or not making money is having made good money, then not make money. I mean, that's worse because if you're used to ramen noodles, then it's really not that big a deal. But if you're used to filet and then you're back to ramen noodles, it really sucks. And so that was definitely a challenge. Another challenge was, you know, network marketing isn't the most socially accepted or, you know, profession that everyone just, you know, when you tell someone I'm a network marketer, most people aren't like, wow, good for you, man. They're usually cynical, skeptical. Oh, one of those things. Oh, those things never work out. Or, oh, that's a period. You're right. There's all these negative connotations around network marketing. And so, you know, I had maybe not be excited for me or accept my decision or agree with me or approve of me. And I just kept charging forward. To me, I had the advantage of meeting some people who had been financially free for decades, which was, you know, it was actually more rare to meet people outside of network marketing that have been financially free, at least as many as I have met over the years. And so I had to be willing to not get approval, acceptance, or agreement for my decision and just keep moving forward. And that's what I did. And it's funny because, you know, now years and years later, you know, there were a lot of people that you know, maybe talk behind my back and maybe, you know, badmouth me, whatever, that have since reached out to see if we're hiring. So it's kind of funny, but you just kind of got to go with it, as, you know, especially in, you know, in the United States. In other countries, there's actually no negative connotation. In Asia, there's network marketing is actually larger over there. There's no negative connotation. It's seen as a profession. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do here in the U.S. is help raise it up over here as well.
And it's interesting you bring up the point where it's a lot worse to go from rich to poor, or just like, as you mentioned, the filet mignon to the ramen noodles. That's just an interesting perspective. Just an interesting perspective overall. And you shared, like, it's interesting how, like, you surrounded yourself with financially free people, and that always helps to make you financially free, help you stay there, help you achieve more successes. A lot of it is based on the people you surround yourself with. And another thing that I believe is really important to surround yourself with is really good books that have the knowledge you need to move your business forward, to achieve higher personal development. So with books in mind, Ray, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, for sure. So some of my favorite ones are, I love The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. You know, I didn't know that I practiced stoicism until I read that. And I said, oh, yeah, that's how I think. So I just think it's really powerful for people to realize that, you know, the worst things that happened to me in my life, I actually became grateful for. And they taught me different ways of showing up. They taught me lessons I would not have learned otherwise. So I'm very grateful for that. A guy that I've actually had the opportunity to interview, and I like him a lot, is Stephen Pressfield. And Stephen Pressfield wrote The War of Art. It's not The Art of War. It's The War of Art. And in it, he talks about just perseverance and showing up when you don't want to. And, you know, I just always found that that was a really powerful book. Another one that's different, but it was very inspiring for me, it's kind of a cheesy title. I wish it was titled differently, but it's called How to Get Rich by Felix Dennis. And so Felix is the creator of Maxim magazine, and he's just like I think close to $1 billion net worth magazine guru. And in it, he gives some very colorful language on what it was like for him from being dead broke to being, you know, worth over $900 million and what he considers broke mindsets and what holds people back. It's a really fun read. And so those are three books that I would suggest. I mean, obviously we have our own books, but, you know, as far as books that I like, those are three that came to the top of my mind.
Ray, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations. And just to throw in one of my own books, if you guys want a free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, you can head over to markgaberti.com/book. If you're interested in all those books that we both mentioned, will be in the show notes, markgaberti.com/E213. And before we wrap up this episode, Ray, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Yeah, I would say, you know, one of the things that really elevated me to the network marketing profession is after starting my own business, after owning a franchise, after doing, you know, working my way up the corporate ladder to a large salary. You know, there's a lot of different ways for you to make money, and there's a lot of different ways for you to be an entrepreneur. We see network marketing as the lowest risk, lowest overhead way for the average ordinary person to start a business. And, you know, if you're out there and you're trying to come up with the big idea, or you're trying to, you know, come up with the next invention, or, you know, go into Shark Tank or whatever, but you don't really know what to do, network marketing is a great battleground for you to learn the skills you would need to learn anyway, and leverage off the efforts of the company who did the patent, who did the trademark, who did the labeling, who does the shipping, who did the product creation, who created the comp plan, who cuts the checks. And so it's something that, you know, if you're an entrepreneur out there struggling to make it, you may consider network marketing. And I say that I'm not a recruiter anymore. So I don't have a team for you to join. I'm not trying to, you know, get you into my organization or anything like that. But I just see it as a great profession that sometimes gets a bad name because people do things the wrong way. And we're trying to teach them the right way.
Ray, thank you for sharing with us that great question and for sharing all of your great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Ray, get his book, Freakishly Effective Social Media for Network Marketing. That book will be in the show notes, barkerbirdie.com/E213. Ray, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all you do.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn